We've been preaching about faithfulness from the first of the year, being found faithful. Found faithful. God is looking for faithful people. We talked in the very beginning that faithfulness is in our lives is a reflection of the one that we believe, because God is faithful. And so this morning we're going to follow along with that same theme. There's so much in the scripture about it, I can't get away from it. Daniel chapter number 3, please, in your Bible. We'll read verses 12 through 18, but put a marker there for now, if you would. Turn to Daniel 3, verse 12. Put a marker there. And go back with me to the book of Job, just before Psalms, the book of Job, chapter number 13. I'm going to read three verses there. Job chapter 13, we'll read verses 13 through 15, and then we'll go back to Daniel. Job chapter 13, and I'll read verse 13 through 15, if you'll follow along there in your Bibles, please, with me. Job chapter 13, verse number 13. Hold your peace, let me alone, that I may speak, and let come on me what will. Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in my hand? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. I want you to notice there, of course, we know that we'll talk a little bit more about it, but Job was being severely criticized by his friends because of the troubles that Job was facing, and his friends said it was because Job was really a sinful guy when he was not. And so he tells them basically, I'll paraphrase in verse 13, shut up. Hold you your peace. Let me alone that I may speak. Let come on me what will. And verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. What a powerful statement. Now, if you'd go back to the book of Daniel, please. Chapter number 3. And I'm going to add a couple other verses besides what we read. So if you look at Daniel chapter number 3 and verse number 1, says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits, that's 90 feet, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, 9 feet, and set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And then verse 2, then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Verse 6, if you would please. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, at that time when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then, if you would, down to verse number 12. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. And then if you would please, everyone, read with me out loud, verse 18. Ready? But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. It seems that people have certain limitations that govern what they'll do for someone else. Those limitations tend to be based on principles, and they should be. And then also, those limitations that one will do for another seems to be based on responses that they get back. Someone may say, I'll help that person as I can, or do something for that person as I can, but if they don't follow through in a certain way, I'm done. In other words, they'd be faithful to their principles, but not if the other person did not meet up to their expectations. Sometimes we may get written off as disingenuous by others because we do not meet their expectations, often unrealistic expectations, I might add. Unfortunately, this type of perspective, I'll do for you as long as you meet certain expectations. This type of perspective carries over into our relationship with God. People often will gauge their commitment to God based on how they feel he has or will meet their expectations. I'll be faithful if I'm not faithful because God this or that. 1 Corinthians 4:2, which has been our basis for these line of messages, says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. Moreover, it is required. A divine imperative. It is required in stewards, people who have been entrusted with something that belongs to someone else. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, period. The requirement of God is that we are found faithful with no contingencies. Well, what about when God may not, does not, or has not met our expectations? Many are faithful if. My message today is faithful, but if not. Faithful, but if not. Let's just pause for a moment of prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity that we have again, to open up your eternal word. Thank you for the Bible. I pray that you'd use its word to bless our hearts. There may be some that are not familiar with this story at all, and others are over-familiar with it. But I pray that the truth found here would be helpful to all of us today in some way or many ways. Again, if there's anybody here, Lord, that does not know you personally as their Savior, they don't know for sure they're on their way to heaven, may they get that matter settled today. today before it would be eternally too late. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Bless now, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Faithful, but if not. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah had been taken captive along with Daniel when King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, conquered Jerusalem in 586 B.C. I was not there. 586 B.C. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And what a great friend and spiritual influence Daniel had been to them. One of the messages we preached about being found faithful was about Daniel in particular. But what a great friend Daniel had been to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Daniel had, remember, purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's food and wine. These men were taken captive, made eunuchs, to become servants to the king and liaison between the king and the Jewish constituency that were carried away captive there. But Daniel, when taken captive, had purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's food or the king's wine. These three men, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, whose names were changed by the Babylonians to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these three men are tremendous examples to us of being found faithful. They were faced with the most difficult of challenges here in our scripture when it comes to making a life decision, or should I say, life decisions. It came down to their belief or their lives. Their belief or their lives. You know, it's interesting, we see them here being called upon to bow or die. And so we come to the thought of, well, life or belief. Underneath faithfulness is the aspect, of course, of faith, what we believe. Faithfulness, full of faith. Faithful, we have a belief that we hold on to in a continuous manner. Faithful, which results in a practice that is continual as well. Underneath faithfulness to the aspect of faith, or should I say, what one believes. There's a statement that I heard years ago. Someone said, you only really believe that which moves you to action. It's so true. Their beliefs, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were to be tested here in this passage of Scripture with their lives at stake. You believe this, then it may cost you your life. Now, here today, we may never be faced with the decisions of life or belief. At least I certainly hope not. Amen. It's very possible that we could, but right now we are not faced with the aspect of a decision that we choose to believe something and die, or we choose to forfeit what we believe and live. Or are we? Consider our actions in life. All the time we are making decisions for life that, if it were a matter of life or death, we'd still have to make those same decisions. It's just life or death is not in front of us. Our actions in life that we come up with are basically first decisions or choices that we make. Our decisions that we make are, in essence, choices of life. I believe that we're faced all the time with decisions that boiled down are between life or belief. Many people make subtle compromises with their life, forfeiting what they believe. Well, it will be more conducive to my life if I back off a little about what I believe. So they're making a choice between life and belief. Many times we make decisions about our lives that are ultimately made up of choice between life and belief. Will I do with my life that which I want, be it fun, pleasure, popularity? Will I do with my life what I want, or will I do with my life that which is governed and guided by my beliefs? See, our actions make up our lives, don't they? And those decisions that we make, our choices that we make, often, if you boil them down between life and belief. And we have to understand beliefs are what guide our choices. Beliefs guide our choices. Many people's actions in life seem to be on a different plane than what they actually believe or say they believe. But you know, that's not really the way it is. When our actions are different from our stated beliefs, one can deduct that person really doesn't believe what they stated. You only really believe that which moves you to action. And so sometimes when it seems like, well, boy, their life doesn't match their beliefs. No, it does. They just don't believe what you think they believe. Ultimately, one's beliefs or lack of beliefs lay the foundation for choices that one makes. People don't end up in trouble in life because they believe the wrong thing. They end up making decisions and choices because they did believe the wrong thing, because they believed the right thing. They did it because they believed the wrong thing. They thought, I'll never get caught. It doesn't matter. I'm my own God. I'll do what I want. I'm not submissive to God. So believing the wrong thing, they make the wrong choices. Then when we look at our lives, we think about choosing between life or belief. Our lives actually, what we are, our lives reflect our beliefs. When someone looks at your life, they get a mental picture of what you believe. They see you get up and go to church on Sunday morning. Right? They see other things that they do, and they make deductions about what you believe based on your life. Truly, our lives should be a reflection of our beliefs, and they are. And we're really living when our belief defines our lives. That's when we really are alive, when what we believe is what we do, and they're in harmony and unity, and what people see is what we are, and what we say we believe is what we are. Our lives should reflect our beliefs. Now let's consider the three Hebrew children this morning here, okay? I can't imagine the situation that they were in when you think about it. Taken captive as young men, displaced from their homeland, placed into the region of Babylon under the authority of the king who had destroyed their city, the city of God, the city of David, Jerusalem. Made eunuchs. And being taught the way of the Chaldeans so that they could be liaison with the Jews and help the Babylonian king govern them. Life wasn't easy for them. You remember with Daniel, they went along with Daniel and purposed in their hearts with him, and they got permission of their instructor that they could they wouldn't have to eat the king's meat, and they ended up 10 times smarter than the rest of the people there. You want to get smart? Then purpose in your heart not to defile yourself, right? Do what God wants you. You'll be smarter than the rest of the people around you. That's for sure. But let's consider the three Hebrew men. First of all, some ingredients about it. Number one, in light of faithfulness, they were faithful to God. They were faithful to God. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We see them here. Daniel 1, chapter 1 through chapter 3, we see these three Hebrew children, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We see them being faithful to God personally, who God is. They believed in a God, the Creator, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Jews, the God who promised a Messiah. They believed in God. Really, what makes a great statement for your life is first to come to grips with the fact, do you or do you not believe in God? Amen. He that believeth has faith. The Bible says we have to believe that He is and a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Do you believe God is? Do you believe God does? He acts. He sure does. These three Hebrew children were faithful to God Himself. Secondly, they were faithful to principle. Principle. They wouldn't defile themselves with the king's meat because God had guidelines concerning their diet, the Jewish people. It's not imperative upon us today. Don't let modern religion teach you that it is. But God had given the Jewish people guidelines for living, and they were principles. God gave them commands, the Ten Commandments to follow, and others. And so these Jewish young men were faithful to those principles. God had given them a responsibility in life to honor His name. They were faithful to Him, but faithful to the principles that God had given them. Particularly in this instance, they were given instruction to bow down to an image and worship the image. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, of course, put up this great 90 feet tall image of gold for people to bow down to. That's pretty tall, isn't it? There's no buildings in the immediate vicinity in this area 90 feet tall that I know of. That's 10 stories, almost 10 stories high. Humongous. You remember Daniel had given Nebuchadnezzar the understanding of the prophecy of the vision of the image, and Nebuchadnezzar was that head of gold. The four great empires that would come about, Babylonian Empire being the first of which. And so Nebuchadnezzar sets up an image. I'm that image of gold. I bow down and worship me. But there was principles that the Hebrew children were faithful to. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third generation of them that hate me. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to serve them. No other gods. Principle. They were faithful to, even in a strange land. But something else, they were faithful to their decisions. I find that sometimes people don't want to make a decision because they know they need to be faithful to decisions they make. We live in a day when people won't enter into a covenant, a promise. The Bible, the word in our English Bible says truce breakers. It's the idea of those who won't enter into covenant with each other. Will you come to church? Oh, I won't want to make any promises. You know, don't want to commit myself. But the three Hebrew children not only believed in God and His principles, but they made decisions, commitment to abide by them. Will not serve other gods. Will not partake in the king's wines. They purposed in their heart and were faithful to their decisions. In the day that we live, we need people that will take the decisions they've made and follow through with them. Amen? You know, I'm going to join Berrien County Baptist Church. Well, that means I'm going to be there and be faithful. I'm going to witness to my neighbor. Well, then take a track and witness. I'm going to be faithful in tithing. Well, then tithe and honor God that way. I'm going to be faithful to read my Bible when you get up in the morning. Read your Bible. You know. They're faithful to decisions. Their actions coincided with their beliefs. If our beliefs are wrong, our choices and actions will be misguided. Their beliefs were right. And their choice and their action was right. Notice what the three Hebrew men did. They also had were faithful regardless. Faithful to God, faithful to principle, faithful to decisions, but add to that then, faithful regardless. Their faithfulness was out of who God is, the true God, the Creator, the King, the Judge. And what God expected them to obey the commands and principles of the Word, Then they were faithful to the decisions, and we're going to honor God, we're going to do what's right. Faithful to those decisions, because those decisions weren't emotional-based decisions, based on feelings like people do today. They weren't rational decisions based on just human logic. They weren't outcome-oriented decisions based on what I expect to happen. They were spiritual decisions. God is God. God has said, and I commit to do what God has said. They decided they'd be faithful regardless. When the king came and said, you need to bow, they wouldn't bow. When the king said, you know what, we're going to give you another chance. And you know, it's interesting. King Nebuchadnezzar liked these guys. He was on a spot. He says, listen, I'm going to give you a chance now. When you hear the music, you bow, and if you bow well, we'll forget that you didn't bow before. If you bow well, they decided they were going to be faithful to God regardless of the consequence. That leads us to faithful. But if not, I want you to notice again verses 16 through 18 in chapter number 3 of Daniel. Powerful, powerful statement here that these men make to the king concerning their faithfulness. In verse 16, the Bible says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful. The idea there is we're not overly, we don't have to give this a bunch of thought. When you have to sit back and think about whether or not you're going to do right, you're almost down the wrong road already. A man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Faithful to God, to the principles of God's word, to the decisions that you've made upon them, and faithful regardless, there's no thought involved. Notice, if you would, there in verse number 17, they said in verse 16, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. In verse 17, if it be so, if this is the way it's got to be, king, you're going to give us a chance, and if we don't bow, you're going to throw us in the fiery furnace. If it be so, we want you to know we believe in a God, and I'm paraphrasing, we want you to know we believe in a God that we serve, and we believe he's able to deliver us out of the fiery furnace. We believe that. And he's going to deliver us from your hand, king. We believe that too. Notice what they said in verse number 18, the first part. Would you read those words with me? Ready? But if not. We're faithful. And we believe that God could deliver us from the fiery furnace. And we believe God will deliver us from your hands. But we're faithful if he does or doesn't do as we expect him to do, as we want him to do, as we'd like him to do. We don't want to burn. But our lives are not more dear to us than our belief. You should notice some things here about them being faithful, but if not, first, faithfulness is ours. It's our responsibility, they said. It's our responsibility to be true and faithful to our God, the God whom we serve. If you're going through the supposed Christian life just in a religious way, well, you know, I'm just kind of religious, you'd bow. But if your walk, your life is, I am walking and serving a holy God who knows me, who sent his son to die for me, I received him as my Savior, I'll give an account to him as a Christian. If you're walking in such a way that you're acknowledging Him in all your ways, if He's the one you're living for, then He's the one you'd die for too. But the people that will forfeit beliefs for their lives are those who are just living out of convenience. They're just going along. But these men were serving God. Certainly God above the king. Their faithfulness in their minds was theirs. It was their responsibility. Something else I want you to notice that they probably had the perspective of here is that the outcome is God's. People quit serving God oftentimes when God does not bring the outcome they have expected or they've desired. In other words, they think God's a genie in the bottle. They rub the bottle, they got the genie, they gave their wish, and it's supposed to come to pass as they desired. If not, throw it away. They understood, and their faithfulness was such that they understood that the outcome is God's. We believe who He is, we believe what He said, we're committed to what He said, regardless, and you know what? We're not going to bow. He, as God, could deliver us, but if He doesn't, we're not going to bow. And the outcome is His. God's responsibility. There are Christians that back off from serving God because the outcomes they've experienced aren't what they expected God would do, and so they back off from faithfulness to God because God did not meet their expectations. Three Hebrew children said, He can deliver us. But if not, we're going to be faithful to Him. We'll be faithful to God, His principles, and our decision, because belief is over lives. What I believe is more important than my life. Is that true in your own heart? What I believe is more important than my life. You see, we are faced with life or belief choices all the time. It's just we don't have a guillotine in front of us or a fiery furnace in front of us. They said we can't bow to an image. We will not bow to an image. Our lives are at stake with a fiery furnace. God's able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. God will deliver us from the king's hand. But if not, we're going to be faithful. Because our faithfulness is based on who God is, what God says, and decisions that we've made to follow Him regardless. If I'm in Jerusalem, if I'm in Babylon, if I'm going against the king or with the king, if it means a fiery furnace or whatever it means, I've made these decisions, and but if not, I'm going to be faithful. I want you to notice quickly, back to the book of Job with me just for a moment. I hope you'll still have that marked in your Bible. Job says essentially the same thing. I'm faithful, but if not, I'm faithful. Job chapter number 13 and verse number 13. Hold your peace, let me alone, that I may speak. Let come on me what will. You know what I hear Christians say? You know, I really should serve God, and I believe that He's going to make all this better here. I'm going to serve God. Let come on me what will. And then verse number 15, and would you read the first part of that verse with me out loud? Ready? Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. And he goes on and says, I'll maintain my own ways before Him. God's not cruel. But Job demonstrates the faithfulness that he had in his heart toward God, and that he said, you know what? I'm going to be faithful to Him. I don't understand all that's going on. These sores, I've lost my family. I've lost my fortune. I've lost my friends. I've lost my fame. I've lost my credibility with my friends. It's awful what's happened in my life. But I'm going to be faithful to God. And if He slays me, I'm still going to maintain what's right before Him. I'm going to trust Him. Faithful, if not. Surely Job wanted to get better. But he said, if I don't, I'm still going to be faithful. And what we need as Christians is to have that type of perspective like Job did, exclaiming in the midst of a terrible outcome, seemingly, that he would trust God even if He slew him. And we hear the happy side of it all the time. Oh, trust God, you know, send money to this organization, watch your finances flourish. But if not, see, we don't base what we do on outcome. We base what we do on belief. God, what He said, our decisions based on what He said, regardless. Let me paraphrase Job. I'll be faithful, and God will help me, but if not, I'll be faithful. Let me paraphrase the three Hebrew children. We're going to be faithful to God, and God can and will deliver us, but if not, we're going to be faithful to God. What we have to do is not make up personal expectations of God that cause us to make faulty, life-impacting decisions. I was serving God, but this happened in my life. My children did this. This happened in my marriage. This happened in my finances. This happened with my job. I wasn't expecting that, and so I just can't serve God anymore. Throw that away, would you please? God is God. God is not demanded to act in accordance with our expectations. We're to accept how God deals with us in our lives. I asked a question this morning, have you quit serving God because the outcomes that you expected have not been realized? Let's just decide to believe God enough to leave the outcomes in His hands, right? Be faithful if the outcome seems good. Amen. But if not, be faithful anyway. God will always be faithful to Himself, to His Word, to His plan, to His people. And if the outcome seems bad upon His people in the present, we know that all things work together for what? Good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. I believe, though the verse wasn't written at that point in time, I believe the three Hebrew children kind of had the idea, you know what? If God doesn't deliver us and we burn in that fiery furnace, I believe it worked together for our good because we will be delivered from the king and we'll be in the presence of God. Amen? But it wouldn't be what we really wanted at that moment. But that doesn't change my faithfulness. How many times do people say, you know what, things just aren't going like I'd hoped, so I'm quitting? The three Hebrew men were faithful regardless if God did or did not do what they would have wanted and expected Him to do right then. They'd be faithful. But you know the end of the story, don't you? Amen. Here they were. If you look in your Bibles again in Daniel chapter number 3 and verse number 24, then Nebuchadnezzar, well, you back up, you see they heated the furnace up. You know the story. Verse number 24, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said to the counselors, did not we cast in three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. God stepped in there with them when they were faithful to Him. But if not, they didn't step into the fiery furnace and know for sure that they'd not get burned. As they were put in the fiery furnace and headed that direction, others died from the heat. They realized God's providence then. See, faithfulness looks beyond the temporal circumstances that we can't understand. It looks beyond the present outcomes that seem to disappoint us at times. And it looks forward to the eternal plan of the omniscient God who does all things well. I want us to determine to be faithful. Not if, but if not. Faithful knowing that all the great things God could do now that would be pleasing to us may happen. And witness to that person, he may get saved. But if not, I'm going to witness to him anyway. I'm going to preach and encourage God's people to be faithful. And if everybody is, I'll keep preaching. No. But if not, I'll keep preaching. I'm going to teach my children as they're growing up what's right. And if they live right, I'll just rejoice and serve God. No. But if not, will you still serve God? Yeah. Because you'll be faithful. But if not. Well, you know what? I'm going to apply God's word to my marriage. And everything will work out right. But if not, there's two people in a marriage, right? Last I knew. And if one person doesn't do what God says, the other person can't make them. Another person may sincerely pray and, God, help me do the right thing and help me to walk with you and help me to be kind and loving and compassionate. And God salvage the marriage. But I'll be faithful even if not. Lord, my finances are a wreck. But I'll be faithful to you even if they don't turn around right away. I've been going to church. Just seems like I'm struggling in my life. I'm going to quit going. Wait a minute. Why don't you be faithful? But if not, if things aren't happening in your life like you want them to, you still be faithful. God knows the time and the place and how He wants to work. Leave the outcome to Him. In the late 90s and early 2000s, I told our deacons that we'd be faithful to the proper Christian music and Christian living principles. I said I thought that many people would see the fallacies of the contemporary ideology and would slowly gravitate back this way. But it hasn't been like I thought it would. I'm going to be faithful, but if not, amen. What we do in our lives needs to be determined by what we believe in our hearts based on the Word of God. And just leave the outcome in God's hands. I'll be faithful in my life to what I believe. And if it doesn't turn out the way I want it to in every way, if not, I'm still faithful in my life to what I believe. That's what God wants. That's how these three Hebrew children were found faithful. We need to be faithful to stand because of who God is, what God says, and then on the decisions we've made based on those things. So we'll be faithful. But if not, we'll be faithful. If, praise the Lord. If not, praise the Lord. We're going to be faithful. Faithful, but if not today, I ask you, don't focus on the outcome, please. Please get away from that. Focus on God and what He expects of you as a steward. Forsaking all, I trust Him regardless. Are you saved this morning? Have you come to the place where you say, you know what? I don't care what anybody thinks about me in my life. I believe that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I need Jesus. It's a decision of belief over life that impacts all eternity. If you're not 100% sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven, you need to make sure of that. Jesus said to Nicodemus, a religious man, except a man is born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. You need to be born again. Having difficulties in the Christian life, please get away from the outcome you're experiencing and become faithful to the one God, to what He says, principles, and the decisions you've made in your heart about serving Him. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Your word this morning. There's so many other things that we could focus on in this passage of Scripture. Lord, we've been talking about being found faithful. And sometimes people quit because it just doesn't seem to turn out like they'd hoped it would. And we don't see the end. We don't see Your plan and work in our lives like You do. So help us to be faithful even if it doesn't seem like it's working out like it ought to in our minds. Lord, I pray that You'd challenge somebody here this morning to get back on the spiritual firing line and start serving again, reading the Bible again, praying again, witnessing again, being faithful in church again. Trust You with the outcomes. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. I wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, Pastor, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. And if the Bible tells us how we can know, I sure want to know in my heart that my sins are forgiven, that I have eternal life, and that I'm going to heaven someday. I'd like to know that, if it's possible, and it is. Who'd slip up their hand? No one else look and say, Preacher, I'd like to make sure about my salvation. Anybody today? I wonder how many Christians would say, Pastor, I've become in such a state that I'm just weighing all the outcomes around me instead of just determined to be faithful regardless, leaving the outcomes to God. I wonder who'd say, Preacher, by the grace of God, I'm going to be faithful. But if not, I'm going to be faithful. Who'd slip up their hand this morning and say, Preacher, God's touched my heart along the way. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Take these thoughts. Is the belief above your life? It ought to be. In a daily, practical way. Maybe someone here has been compromising some of their life. It's not in accord with what you really believe, and you need to make an adjustment. You should do that this morning. Say, you know, I haven't been faced with life or death, but I've been giving up some of what I believe. To make my life better, I thought. I need to change that today. In a moment, we'll stand together. We'll sing a verse of invitation. Have thine own way. That's what we need to do. Just yield to the Lord. Have your own way. If you raise your hand this morning, I'd encourage you to come and pray. Slip back quietly to your seat. Whatever God's spoken to your heart, talk to Him about it today. If there's something you need to speak with me about, I'd be glad to meet you down at the front. Pray with you. If you're not sure that you're saved and on your way to heaven, you better get sure. You better get sure. It's not games. It's not myths. It's reality. As we stand and sing Let Go and Let God in your life today. Shall we stand together, please? Heavenly Father, bless this invitation, I pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Number 366, Have Thine Own Way. Have thine own way. Father, thank you for this day you've given to us, this time we've come together. Lord, I pray that you'd take your word and continue to work in our hearts. And Lord, we think of these folks that we've looked at, the three Hebrew men and Job himself. And Lord, what a great example of faithfulness to you regardless of the circumstance. Determination to be faithful even if it didn't turn out like they'd hoped. Lord, help us to be the same way. Bless us now as we go our separate ways. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thanks for being here this morning.